Well, good evening. It's Thursday, December 14th, 2023. In this series on the biblical lifestyle of remembering, our focus continues to be on remembering God in all aspects of our lives, and more specifically, to strengthen our love for Him within our hearts, our souls, and our minds. And like we see with David, we want to seek God with an active heart desire that He would enlighten our understanding to the length, the depth, the breadth, the height about His nature and His ways. Psalm 119 was written by David, a man who is noted in Acts 13:22 as a man after God's own heart. And the reason given in verse 22, God said that David would do everything He wanted him to do. And you know, that takes a resolute trust in God. And David had that. This Psalm 119 records David, and it's just him and God. No one else there to hear, no one else there to know the intimate details of his praises to God, his worship, his prayers, and especially his intense longing for all things concerning God. And how wonderful is this, that for 176 verses, we get that fly on the wall view into the heart and soul of this man as he communicates with God. And today, in this fourth section of Psalm 119, looking at verses 25 through 32, we read that David is struggling with the circumstances that are going on in his life. He's been attacked ferociously with false accusations, and quite frankly, he's distraught over the matter, and he's stuck. He cannot get his mind off of this problem. He said in verse 25, the first part of that verse, "Dalleth, my soul cleaveth unto the dust." And this is an informative phrase, "my soul cleaveth." He said, "my soul." He didn't say, "my heart." Have you ever given a problem to God and then over and over and over again you yank it back because your soul just can't seem to let it go? I have. I bet you have too. For David, we read in verse 23 that even princes were speaking maliciously against him. And in this particular case, the things they were saying, they were without cause. These injustices had really worked up to infect his soul life. And he couldn't let it go. His soul, it says, was cleaving to the dust. And, concerning dust, Genesis 3:14, God said that the serpent was going to be on the ground the rest of his life. He was going to eat the dust of the earth. That was going to be his home. And David doesn't need to be cleaving to that. He doesn't need to be eating dust, nor do we. In Luke 9:5, Jesus instructed his disciples that whenever they would go into a home or a city and the people would not listen to them and they would not receive them lovingly, that they should just shake the dust off your feet for a testimony against them. And here David is just stuck. He could not shake the dust off his feet. You know, he couldn't let go of it in his mind. The undeserving reproach was such a vexation to his soul. So now the question is, how did David behave himself in this uncomfortable, irritating, aggravating, infuriating and exasperating personal crisis. What did he do? What can we learn here as we, from this fly on the wall perspective, what do we see him do? Well, the second part of verse 25 continues. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Now, in a personal crisis, the details are going to be different. They're not always going to be the same. But the one thing that we can always follow that is here is David went to God. That was the first thing. And that's always the first thing we do, is we go to God. The details will vary, even in David's life, throughout Psalm. It was different details at different times. This wasn't the only problem he ever had in his life, for sure. Yeah. It was a dark night of the soul, and David went deep into his quiet place to talk to Jehovah. And there he unpackaged his soul. He took the lid off with God. Yes, his soul was very troubled, but in his heart, he intended to hide nothing from God. His heart cried out emphatically to God, "Quicken thou me according to thy word." He needed to be revived, refreshed, and restored in his soul. There's nothing wrong with his heart. And, you know, you might think, how can that be? How can that be? But remember, back in verse 11, David hid the word in his heart that he might not sin against God. Now we're going to witness how the word in his heart was there to save him when his soul was in deep trouble. The word he hid away on the good day saved him during the storms of life. And there were many, many more than just this one. So at one of his lowest points, the truth hidden in his heart led him to God for his reviving, for his refreshing, for him to be able to shake that dust off his feet and give that situation to God and not keep yanking it back. It is a faithful word of God that we have. So in verse 26, it continues, "I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me, and teach me thy statutes." And thinking back on verses we've already covered, David abundantly declared his ways to God. How about, "I will praise thee. I will keep thy statutes. I have rejoiced in your testimonies. I will meditate in thy precepts. I will respect thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Thy word have I hidden in my heart." That's a few declarations, and we're just right now getting ready to go into verse 27 here in a couple minutes. And I think of, you know, loving God with his whole heart, soul, mind, and strength was his continual declaration. He believed that when he spoke to God, God heard him, and that God would not deny him his request. Because, he says, he delights himself, he meditates in the precepts, he keeps the testimonies, he will not forget the word. You know, he's not going to ask something that's not in accordance with the word. Then in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, we read about this to the church. And it says, 1 John 5, 14 and 15, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. David had this confidence. What an example of how our laboring in the scriptures then in turn labors for us in so many ways. And this Psalm 119, I tell you, it provides patience and comfort to my heart to read it and just have verses jump up in my mind from the epistles. It's amazing. To restore to health his troubled soul, he asked God to teach him. And this teach has the meaning of training. It includes correction. It includes the reproof. It includes kind of the goading, of moving the person along, honing them in so that their way stays straight. Sure. And it's training to the end that they become accustomed to a certain manner of life, and to the point that anything else is uncomfortable. And, you know, Jeremiah 9:5 says that one can accustom their tongue to speak lies. Well, just the opposite. In seeking God's statutes, we can be trained and become accustomed to truth, to light, to God's love. Statutes here in this verse, statutes refer to a prescribed limit or boundary. And that's how David wanted to be trained. He wanted to be sensitive to the nuances of the limits and boundaries, the nuances of truth. He wanted to be lit up in his understanding. In verse 27, he says, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works." You know, he asked God, "Cause me to perceive, to discern, so that I can give heed to thy precepts." And precepts are rules intended to regulate behavior. That's what precepts are. Precept upon precept. That's how you would train a child. That's how you would train a new believer in walking the word. It's a precept upon a precept to regulate really our hearts so that our behavior is pleasing to God. One of the meanings for so shall I talk means to germinate. And I thought about that. Germinate. That means that you plant it, you water it, you nurse it along, and it germinates and it sprouts. And it becomes whatever the seed is that is growing it. That thought, it flourishes if you meditate upon it. And another meaning is to converse with another. So think of how much more he could say to others and how more accurately he could say it, how on the mark he could be for God if God's rules for behavior had germinated within his heart. Yeah. And wondrous works refers to truths that are really so much bigger than one could understand on their own. God would have to work it in your heart and show it to you. That's Paul's prayer in Ephesians, that we would be able to be lit up in our hearts with understanding, right? We've read it a couple of sessions ago. With this understanding, he asked God to provide so that he can speak accurately and powerfully to others about God and his wondrous works. In verse 28, "My soul melteth for heaviness, strengthen thou me according to thy word. So his soul cried. He cried with heaviness. He asked God to fulfill him, to establish him, to confirm him. He desired understanding in the little nuances of truth so that he would have in his heart, in his operating vocabulary, he would have suitable words at the appropriate time, day by day by day. I think about that verse in the Word where it talks about apples of gold in pictures of silver, talking about how beautiful the words are that are spoken by a faithful person. In verse 29, he says, "Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously." Now, this remove, I do want to point it out because you might catch it and think it's the same word. It is not the same word in the Hebrew as we read in verse 22. Back in verse 22, he asked God to remove the reproach. And I told you that that meant to roll it away. And figuratively, it's talking about rolling away the reproach of those that were speaking against him. And it was in the sense of rolling away something that was way too heavy to lift or carry off. Now that's talking about verse 22. But here in verse 29, it's a little different. David asked about a young man cleansing his way. We know that he didn't want to be deceived in any way at all. He wanted nothing to do with walking away from God, being tempted to serve other gods. So in this verse 29, he asked God to remove or to take away from his life the way of lying. So he did want God to just take it away. And really, he wanted it to be taken away by being replaced with this understanding of truth that God would give him. So it wasn't that David was running around telling lies. That's not the point at all. The lie was the opposite of the truth. And, you know, there's God's truth, but how many lies can there be about the truth? They're endless, absolutely. David wanted God to remove false doctrines far from him. He wanted no part of them. And that's why this longing to know God's word so thoroughly was so prevalent in all of his prayers. Verse 30 gives us another declaration from David. "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." So, "I have chosen." David chose, he elected, he decided on the way of truth. And judgments, God's judgments, they kind of smooth and level the way. You know, when things get bumpy, God's judgments smooth and level the way ahead of us. And like David, that's what Solomon prayed for. Solomon prayed for wisdom and understanding so that he could discern and judge behaviors and hearts of God's people. Verse 31, he says, "I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame." And this is great. He says, because the word for stuck is the same Hebrew word as cleave. In the fourth section, David's soul was cleaving unto the dust, but his heart was cleaving unto God's testimonies. And he asked God that those testimonies he clave unto would keep him from acting shamefully. Put me not to shame. I don't want to shamefully speak wrongly about your nature to people. I want to be able to speak of your wondrous works accurately in a way that would touch hearts and move people to action. In verse 32, yet another intention of David's heart. When his heart is enlarged, he says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. And what a verse to conclude this section. It's loaded with the sum and substance of everything David longed for. He didn't want to be deceived. He didn't want to misrepresent God with false doctrines and lies. He wanted to speak for God as one who understood and practiced the nuances of his law, his testimonies, his ways, his precepts, his statutes, his commandments, his righteous judgments, his word, and his counsel. And this word run is used in Habakkuk 2:2. And it says, and the Lord answered me and said, write this vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. And this is so great, because this runner is most likely a messenger. So David declared that he will be like a messenger running the way of God's commandments, because God will surely and most certainly enlarge his heart. After all, it's David's faith in God that says, I asked you for it, you heard me, and you are faithful to what you have promised. I mean, that is absolutely demonstrated in these first 32 verses that we've read thus far. And he believed that for his heart's longing to ask, that God would make more space. He would make more chambers in his heart. He would actually add chambers to his heart and expand. He would have more room so that his understanding could expand. He counted God faithful to open his heart to instruction, because he declared that he would receive it and he would do it. So our mutual prayer for ourselves and all of the brethren is that we would find that sweet spot in our daily lives to carve out a fresh biblical lifestyle for remembering God, that we would go privately and intimately to him with our praises, our prayers, our complaints, and our declarations, desiring that he would enlarge the chambers of our understanding to make his word plain, so that we would run to do it, run to speak about it, and that we would run the way of his commandments as we herald his message of love and light. Amen and amen. God bless you.